Okay, good evening and welcome everybody. Let's go through our agenda and get rolling. Let's go through a roll call and then I'll introduce one of our new members. We'll let him sit there for a minute or two and watch everything. Start over here.
Kevin Tyler, Clark County Public Works. And just a reminder, if you're going to speak, get one of these microphones passed to you and make sure it's green when you're speaking.
Danielle Cowley, Lands Coordinator, County.
Kent Cash, Railroad Advisory Board.
Nathan Bruce, Portland Vancouver Junction Railroad.
Greg Smith, Railroad Advisory Board.
Neil Chambers, Railroad Advisory Board.
Jim Malinowski, Railroad Advisory Board.
Mark Daniels, Railroad Advisory Board.
Lloyd Lycan, Advisory Board.
Jim Pearson, Railroad Advisory Board.
I'm Daniel Weaver, the Chair of the Board. We'll start back here.
Les Cotton, property owner.
Linda Cotton, property owner.
John Cotton, property owner.
Charles Hancock, property owner.
Dave Rowe, property owner.
Marvin Matheson, I live on the railroad at Homan.
John Jagelski, property owner.
Steve Jagelski, property owner.
Doug Auberg, BYCX.
Okay, thank you. Welcome all. Oh, we have a couple of
people. Yeah, we got a few people online. Yeah. John, you want to start?
John Schaefer, Advisory Board.
Chad Eichen, you want to go next?
Hi, everybody. Chad Eichen, Director of Community Development for the City of Vancouver.
And then looks like we have Zach Keith online.
Hello, everyone. Zach Keith, incoming advisory board member. Sorry, I couldn't be there in person.
And then Kimberly O'Hara, can you do a mic check for us and introduce yourself?
Here we go. I'm just an interested citizen. I got the railroad in my backyard. I know Dan Weaver.
All right. And then we have Mark Hersig.
Mark Hersig, City of Battleground.
And then Nancy Halverson.
Nancy Halverson, League of Women Voters Observer Corps.
And Jackie Lane.
Just a citizen, Jackie Lane.
And then it looks like Eric Fuller just joined.
Eric Fuller, Railroad Advisory Board.
And William Seacamp.
Hi, I'm a reporter with the Columbia newspaper.
Welcome. And then it looks like Councillor Marshall just joined us as well. Hello, Councillor Marshall.
Sue Marshall, representing District 5, Clark County Council.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to skip approval of minutes for a moment and introduce the two new members we have. Gregory Smith, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself to the board and the rest of the participants here.
Good afternoon. My name is Greg Smith, and I moved from Nebraska to Washington State about 2 years ago. I spent 41 years in the Air Force doing a thing called intelligence, and glad to be here.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I talked to a lot of people, but you live up at the end of the line, is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes, very close.
Up in Chelatchie.
That's correct.
And Zach Smith, you're online. Could you introduce yourself? Zach Keith, Zach, sorry.
That's all right. Zach Keith here, born and raised in Washington State. I currently live in Salmon Creek. I work at Oregon Steel Mills in North Portland. Been with the company almost 20 years and very happy and excited to be a part of this advisory board. Thank you.
Okay, welcome, new members. And it's being pushed forward, but it's not completed through the council yet, which is not expected to be not approved for the appointment of these members and the reappointment of members. Jim Pearson and John Hansen's not here today, and myself are being reappointed to the board. Okay, now minutes. Has everybody read the minutes?
I read the minutes and I
move they be approved. This is Lloyd Lycan. I read the minutes and I move they be approved.
It's been moved and seconded that the minutes be approved as distributed. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved as distributed. Okay, let's. I got a bunch of things at the end of the day here, so we can hustle through the rest of this stuff. PVGAR activities.
I'll keep it short and sweet. I'm sure we'll talk further after I'm done, but good month so far. Good start to the month for us. February is a good month. March continues to be on track. I'm not going to go out on a limb here, but I will say probably going to be a record year is my guess based on the way things are going thus far. Eric's still working on that $1.75 million grant, still in the process there in Olympia, looking good. The tax bill credit, tax credit bill that we've spoken about the last couple of times is due for a final vote on Thursday. So he doesn't foresee much opposition to that, so hopefully that'll be a thing here by the end of the week.
The tax bill meaning the tax credit?
That's the tax credit for the donated relay material. Yeah, other than that, we're all just trying to stay dry. Business is good, and we're continually getting called for more. So hopefully
no
that
crashes,
continues.
No crashes, no derails, no...
No, yeah, no issues or otherwise.
Washouts or anything else?
No, nothing worth talking about. So far, the hillside's held up. Spent a little money on that last year, but no, we're in good shape right now. No issues, everything running as it should be, the way I like it. So.
Good. Okay, BYCX activities. Be sure and introduce yourself. Everybody else has been introduced, so.
Pardon me?
Introduce yourself.
Oh, hi, this is Randy Williams. I'm the president of Chelatchie Prairie Railroad, the nonprofit that operates the tourist train on the north end. As far as activities right now, we're mainly focusing on shop work. Obviously, we don't start, our scheduled runs don't start till Mother's Day weekend. So we're doing some maintenance on the diesel, so it's ready to go, as well as working on the steam engine. It's in its 15-year cycle. Hopefully we'll see that up possibly this summer. That's the last prospect. We have a meeting tonight, so I'll get another update on it. But as it stands right now, we're hoping for midsummer to get that going, because that brings in a lot more tourism. Other than that, we have a lot of track work we know we have to do. We've been out on the track clearing trees. I was out 3 weeks ago and cleared from Yakult down to milepost 19, and then I was out again last week. More trees down. I got it cleared down to milepost 22, and there's a tree there that was more than I wanted to deal with was Sawzall. So I just turned around and came home. But we'll get a crew out there. We know we have some work that has to be done before we can run passengers. In our state area around Moulton Station, we've detected some stuff there that needs to be attended to right away. We also noticed that we have a tenant that's living in our station now, Moulton Station. Somebody seems to have squatted in there. We found a bunch of stuff in there the other day when we were there. I can't blame them. It's out of the weather. So anyway, that's about all I have. Do you have anything, Doug? Does anybody have any questions? All right. That was easy. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. County activities? Kevin?
Yeah. So the first thing I'll talk about is the railroad rehab rehabilitation, railroad rehabilitation project from the BN line up to Battleground. That's, for all practical purposes, completed. The construction contractors ask for substantial completion, and we will have HDR contracted to come in at the end of the month and do a final walkthrough. So that'll wrap up that project. I think for everyone's purposes, it's been a pretty good success.
And what does that include? Just ties and?
It was ties, ballast, surfacing, a little bit of raising track elevation here and there, fixing some of the swing in the line, and that was about it.
No replacement of steel at all?
No. And then the $2.7 million grant, we call it GCB 3592. We have a bridge consultant that'll be under contract, hopefully after council meets on the 21st of this month. That'll be OTAC, so they'll help us put together a bid package to put those bridge repairs out for construction. And that's the, the bridges 6, 12, 18, 20, 23 and 25. Yeah. And then also under that same grant from the state, we'll have a request for proposals going out here shortly. I don't have a date on that yet. I've been waiting for the project manager to provide the date, but that'll be to hire another firm similar to what HDR did for us to determine the extent of the roadbed rehabilitation maintenance work from Battleground northward. That encompasses the $500,000 grant that we call GCB 1249 as well. And that grant will hopefully go before council on April 7th. So all the materials have been sent for council approval. So it has to go through the county process to get to council on April 7th. But that's the target date that I've been shooting for. So if everything goes well, if all of my T's were crossed and my I's were dotted, then we'll be on this April 7th.
So that's
council.
Only 500,000, but HDR is going to tell us how much it's going to take to do all that.
Well, we haven't hired HDR. We will hire somebody to do that work. So it'll be the county has to work through what's called a qualifications-based selection process. So we evaluate engineering consultant firms and determine the most qualified consultant and then hire them to do the work. So
that $500,000 is not likely to make a big dent in it.
Well, so the $500,000 is one grant, and then of the other grant, the GCB 3592, there's another approximately $2 million. So $2.5 million total to go northward from Battleground.
And then we're working on 1.75 that we would like to see put towards the north end as well.
Yeah. And then if the relay tie donation thing works out, then that money will go a lot further. So instead of paying for ties to be bought and installed, we're just paying for ties to be installed and then paying for the ballast that needs to go along with that. So that's the status on all the grant projects. Summit Signal was here over the last couple weeks. We have 119th Street back in service, 100%. St. John's was close. I understand that the gate mech that they brought, they were having some issues with that, and so they couldn't get St. John's back in service. They'll be back shortly. We're trying to get a date on that for the gate mech to either be a new one to be installed, or if they were to make repairs and come back and install it. But
that's not the one on 78.
That's 78. No, that's the one on St. John's and 68th. Or is it 63rd?
That's by the UPS sorting facility right there. Yeah. Where you cross St. John's. Yeah.
So that one
just crosses St. James.
Yeah. That one's close to being back in service. And then they're waiting on materials for 72nd Avenue. And they'll be back to do that. And then all the signals will be back in operation. And then lastly, I'm working on hiring a firm to complete our annual bridge inspections and update the county's bridge management program. The bridge management program was audited by the FRA within the last couple of months, and I have a list of items that we need to address, so working on that.
Kevin, will they prioritize after their examination, prioritize the bridges as far as, you know, most relevant and, you know, which is most important to replace or maintain?
Yeah, so we've got two things going on with the bridges. So we're hiring OTAC to put out a bid package which will repair all the priority 1, 2, and 3 defects from the last round of bridge inspections on bridges 6, 12, 18, 20, 23, and 25. Mm-hmm. So at that point, those bridges will be repaired back to a service level of what they were constructed to provide, essentially.
And prioritize weight by the inspections.
Yeah, beyond that, the inspections will tell us a little bit more about the current condition that they're in. In addition to one of the items the FRA has identified that we need to address is the loading restrictions on these bridges. So we're going to have to do some work to get some load rating done. On at a minimum where we have freight rail service running and where we have the passengers on the BYCX. So those are kind of the two priority areas that we're focusing on. We don't run anything on 18 and 20 right now. So to save money, we're not load rating those at this time. But the other ones, we'll see some work to determine what are the restrictions that we need to put on those bridges in terms of weight or speed or things of that nature. So that's in process and will be something we look at, something we get in under contract within the next month to 2 months at most. FRA's given me 60 days to respond, and so I'm working diligently to get a response. So that's where it stands. That's what I have from the county's perspective. Any questions?
I have one question.
Yes.
When these repairs are complete, is that when you get, in the contract with Eric, there's a point where you guys do some repairs, and then from then on, the bridges are his responsibility. Is that when you're done with these repairs, is that when the handoff takes place?
Yes, and let me clarify that for you as well. So when we perform the priority 1, 2, 3 bridge repairs, the bridges on what's considered the south line of railroad, which is from Hyason southward, those bridges become PVJR's responsibility. At the point that PVJR requests to use the north end of the line for freight rail service, then they would take over the maintenance responsibilities northward of Hyason. And so that's the only, I think, caveat in what you said.
Okay. That's, yeah.
Does that sound about right, Nate?
Yep.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yep. And it looked like Randy had a question.
Yeah. Any word on weed abatement for this year?
Not yet. No, it hasn't been on my priority list yet, but it will be soon. Yeah.
It's going to be growing pretty quick.
Here. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Anything else? Unfinished business is the bylaws and the code update. We have a draft code update that I think everybody's bought off on, and we're ready to push that forward. And Do we need to have that approved here at the board level?
Yeah, it would need to be essentially voted on by the group to recommend that it move forward, and then the next steps would be to work with our legal to have it reviewed, and then to get it to council for adoption in the form of an ordinance, is my understanding.
I know Kent and John has had a copy of it. So what do we do, pass out a copy of it here?
So I did come with copies for folks to look at. So at the back of the minutes, or at the back of the agenda, you'll find a copy of a track change version. So you can see what it was before and what it is now. And then a clean version, so what it would look like if you had all those edits in place. So the track change version has blue text and a bunch of crossouts through it. So those are the two differences. And maybe Dan, we want to let people take a look at it, get it up on the website, and vote on it at the next meeting.
The code section is really pretty brief. It's our bylaws that we have to work through again.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys want to read it now and vote on it or go to the next meeting. You said that's on the that's attached to the agenda?
It is. Yeah, it was part of the agenda packet.
Maybe we should just wait, I guess, until next.
It looks pretty clean to me. I'd be willing to approve it.
Okay.
Can I make a motion?
Well, I'll move that we approve the changes in the advisory board, chapter 2022.2.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and second. We accept the code as changed and distributed to the board. Any questions, comments? Okay, all those in favor of adopting that, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we've accepted it.
Thanks. And just for the minutes, that was Lloyd who gave the first motion, and who gave the second? That was Neil. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we'll now be working on our bylaws, which I haven't really, I mean, I've read through and just need some touching up here and there. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is the, as I told you, the council met on March 1st and discussed or got an update from the planning group on where we were with respect to the freight rail dependent use adoption, if you will. And there was a lot of discussion about, you know, what was going on, what was happening, but the council at the end of that requested one to get copies that the planning group had put together the recommendations that came from the FRDU committee, and that's the vote that they pushed forward to the council before everything was stopped, and they had drafted those conclusions into a draft form, and the council wanted that to be presented to them so they could read it over and see where the committee ended up with that. And the second thing they wanted was an opinion, a legal opinion on the ability to put sewer through the property that's designated as freight rail dependent use. And they requested that Chris Cook from our legal department would put that together And at the same time, they, I didn't hear this was an actual demand, but Eric felt that it was necessary for him to do the same thing. And he contracted with Steve Marash, who is also a member of the Planning Commission, and his firm to put together an opinion, which I think was sent out to all of you. It's a 38-page opinion and quotes more codes than I want to think about. At any rate, he came to the very positive conclusion that you could put sewer in the freight rail dependent use because there is a differential in the way that this 5517 is written that clearly delineates that as resource land versus rural land. And you can't put sewer in rural land, but you can put sewer. It does say that the county can develop codes to put sewer in resource land as designated by 5517. So it gives the council the right to do that, to set up those codes. So his conclusion is that, yes, we can do it. And I haven't seen anything yet from Chris Cook what her conclusion is out of that. But at any rate, that's kind of a positive note. Steve Marash is a prominent attorney in land development. He's also a member of the Planning Commission. So when this comes to vote in front of the commission, he will have to recuse himself since he did write this opinion letter. But I think that was a real positive result for our standpoint that will give everyone, because that was the key issue that was holding this whole thing up from development was the fact that you couldn't put sewer through this land, and that was the preliminary conclusion that the Clark County Legal Department had said continuously that it prohibited the ability to put sewer into this property that was designated as freight rail dependent use. So hopefully that helps them at least get past that issue and then decide whether they want to continue to develop the code. Everything at the, I was on the committee, you were on the committee too, right? Yeah. And everything was pretty much done with the exception of the footprint. We recommended a footprint significantly larger than the planning group had put forth. The council, as a preliminary, they adopted the, I think, 350 acres that is designated as freight rail dependent use on the railroad. And the committee came up with a footprint that was approximately 1,200 acres, somewhere between 1,200 and 2,000 acres that would be along the rail. And that was primarily to include all of the Lagler either owned or controlled properties along the railroad, but it also included some other parcelized areas. And that, the part that you see that is attached to last time's minutes that you approved going back out to the council is where we put together a map that cut that down even further and eliminated some of those highly parcelized areas. So that it gets it down to the clearly 1,200 acres or less of property, but does allow the Lagler owned and controlled properties to be included in the footprint. So at any rate, that's the main issue that needs to be resolved, is to, you know, what the footprint of the rail dependent use property is going to be. That the board will adopt, and then they have to adopt all the recommended development criteria that was developed by the committee. So at any rate, that's good news from our standpoint. The other thing, I think Nathan talked about was the the going forward of the tax credit for rail contributed, used rail contributed to short line railroads, and that went through the House committee. It was through the committee very carefully. And you're saying it's now approved by?
Final vote will be Thursday, Dan. But every vote they've had down the line has been 100% positive for it. So we have no reason to believe it'll have any issues.
And that should be a real boon for replacing some of that.
Oh, track. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that cuts our costs, you know, pennies on the dollar for steel ties. Really, the biggest price we'll pay is for rock at that point because we can't obviously get that donated. But yeah, for the rest of that, it will pay for itself many times over.
So, at any rate, it's looking quite positive, and then we'll see when the county council meets again and talks about this issue, and I'll keep abreast of that and appear when I need to and comment when I need to. Sue, would you like to make any comments regarding that?
I hadn't really prepared anything.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I mean, if you did want to comment.
Oh, I can always say something. I would just say stay tuned for the opinion from Chris Cook, because as this was discussed previously, I think there was a clear difference of opinion. And if people want to, and I don't remember the date offhand, but the Planning Commission, when it came to them before, Ms. Cook was pretty clear in her opinion. So I would just say that there'll be another shoe to drop here.
Okay. Any questions, comments? I think that's about all I have. I know I've been looking at a lot of things. Pardon me? Yeah. Is there anybody that wants to have any testimony from the public? I know, Dave, you would like to. I'll give you 5 minutes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm Dave Rowe. As many of you might know, that the Hoyschtad is taking testimony for expanding SR 503 corridor. So they have an open house till March 17th. But I put in a public comment to WSDOT, and I received a letter. I want to read a paragraph from WSDOT from Dylan Bass. And the paragraph that I'm wanting to point out is, because the Chalachi Prairie Railroad is privately owned, operated, and maintained, we're unable to conduct a study into how Chalachi Prairie Railroad is used. Additionally, because Clark County is the owner of the railroad, WSDOT would need support and approval from the Clark County Railroad Advisory Board, which is you, and also the Clark County Council, before any study can be conducted. Currently, we're not aware of any discussions surrounding the need of such a study, and suggest you connect with the aforementioned groups to share your questions and comment. So what I'm asking is Clark County Railroad Advisory Board, would they be okay with asking WSDOT to make a study for using passenger rail that's parallel with 503 that goes all the way to Yakult? So I just want to hear what the committee has to say.
They're asking to do a study of the traffic.
What we would like to do is, what I want to do as a citizen is see if ODOT would be willing to study passenger rail service that goes parallel with 503 to improve the movement of people in Clark County by using passenger rail vehicles that's paralleling 503, so they wouldn't have to expand 503 quite so much.
I guess I would think it's premature to do that. I don't know that you'd be able to prove there'd be enough usage early on. It probably is a good idea long range, but I would be afraid such a study would just discount that possibility because there wouldn't be enough traffic now.
Yeah, that's my conclusion also, that there wouldn't be enough traffic now, and the fact that we have a lot on our plate to do right now. We can't do much with it. And I think our direction would have to come from the county council. If the county council wanted us to support this, then we could take it on as a project. But as it stands right now, we have more than we can handle right now on our plate. So we couldn't do anything about it and provide much information at all. And like I said, I agree with Jim that it's premature because we have a lot of things to do to the railroad before they could even use it for passenger service, and it would have to be, you know, upgraded and everything. So we're a ways away from all that. So it would have to be something that the council would have to direct us that they wanted us to participate at all.
Okay. I'd like to add, we don't parallel the 503.
No, you only parallel for a short distance. Yeah.
Well, you know, they used to have a passenger service a long time ago, but people are too tied to their cars right now to. I just don't think there'd be enough population out there now to support that kind of service, and I think what that study would do is show that. So, what would we accomplish?
Any other comments? Someone over here?
Is there anyone online who wanted to provide public testimony? I don't see anybody coming off mute, and I don't see anybody raising their hand.
Good.
Anyone else in the audience that wanted to speak on any matter related to the railroad?
I'll defer to the county council. If they would wish us to participate in that and do that, then obviously we could do that. But right now we have way more on our plate than we can handle for the time being.
Move to adjourn.
Oh, howdy. Name is Nathaniel. I'm just volunteer for the SPNS 700 at ORF and then help out with PYCX. This is just more of a general question, knowing that I kind of represent one of the younger generations that's kind of interested in, you know, rail development and, you know, the future of rail. So my question is just kind of more as a representative for my generation, I guess, is what would be good ways to involve oneself at my age, or encourage others of my demographic who might be interested in supporting rail or have more information about the future of rail or ways that they can get involved, you know, knowing that there is at least some talk within my generation where, you know, they have an interest, but just wondering if they know places like here that they can get involved with and say, you know, hey, yeah, I'm interested. I want to learn more. What ways can I help? So it's kind of just a general question of, you know, not just for my own benefit, but then ones I can pass on to anybody else that's interested. What ways can we, as a younger generation, help you guys out and then also learn from you guys?
Yeah. Do you want me to field this one? Yeah. Okay. I think so. What you're doing is what you should recommend your friends do, right? Come to the Railroad Advisory Board meetings, get involved in the nonprofit organizations like BYCX, get involved in local politics where there are railroads. Short line railroads in particular are I think where you may have influence. The big guys are gonna do what they're gonna do. That's what railroad does, right? So, but the short lines, you know, like what we have here in Clark County, and they're not everywhere, but short line railroads are where you may find some ability to influence what's happening in the community. So I think that's probably the best thing that you can do.
Thank you. Yeah, just coming from, I think it was a week or two ago, I was doing G-Corp training out on the Oregon Coast Scenic, and they were kind of talking about future of their railroad. So I have to say it's pretty exciting, you know, kind of stuff that's going around in the Northwest with short line railroads and even just the preservation side of things. So just good job to you guys.
You know, I make a comment. I'm a PUD commissioner, and one of the things we're concerned about is energy issues, and you can move a ton of freight by rail for 10% of the energy as you can by truck, and we should be building up our rail systems and not abandoning any.
Yeah, I agree, and that's been our major objective with this railroad, is get it in service so it can handle the freight that needs to and develop some industrial property so that it can be used to haul freight and in and out of the county, so that it doesn't tear up the railroad or the roadways and cause significant road cost and pollution from trucks, etc. Do you have something?
I think we do a pretty good job every day of justifying the railroad's existence here in Clark County, and it's our hope to continue to grow that. Like Kevin said, being here and being a part of the process is important. We want to be good neighbors. We're transparent. We've got a phone number and a website. If you've got questions of us, ask. You'll get a response. I'm not a guy living in Fort Worth. I live in La Center, and I'm happy to answer any question you have. And, you know, we live in the community as well. So we don't want to bring anything on the line that's going to cause any hazard or issues as much as anybody else does. So we certainly appreciate the support, and we're open to any questions or comments about what we're doing, how we're doing it. And I'm not omnipotent. If there's a better way to do it or something we should be doing differently that makes sense, we're happy to make that change. Thank you.
Yeah, I think participating, coming to these meetings and listen to it, you're not going to hear a lot of intricate things on it, but over time you're going to learn things. But the BYCX group is another one that if you want to be involved in that project, and I think they do some things more hands-on than we might do. Mark, did you have something? Mark Daniels, right?
I think we had one other individual, yeah.
Charles Hancock, just a quick question as to the current status of the track with regards to the last project that was done and then the potential $2.5 million project. Will any of the track exceed accepted track after those two projects?
As of right now, the track is accepted class from the BN line up to Battleground. Beyond that, it's not classified. It's not designated. After the work, I would let the man with the expertise answer that question.
As of now, we've got no reason to change it. We'll keep it accepted track, 10-mile-an-hour track that keeps a little of the scrutiny and our standards a little bit lower than if we maintain it at a higher speed. So for us now, currently, it's in our best interest to
Is it keep accepted it as track is. Above battleground?
I don't think it's anything, right?
It's not anything. It's not considered part of the general line of railroad. Yeah.
At any point in time, we could probably, I think every ounce of that track is good for Class 2 now, from Fruit Valley to 14. But like I said, we've got no reason to change it at this point.
Thank you.
Doug?
Just Doug Auberg, BOICX. It's a small correction. It's Class 1 from milepost 20 to milepost 27, because that's what we have to have to run passengers. It's accepted elsewhere on our part of the lease, but those 7 miles are Class 1.
From north of Heisen to Yakult.
Charles Hancock again. A quick question then regarding that Class 1 track and the inspections of the track. Are there reports available to view with regards to the inspections that take place on that track?
You can follow that up with the FRA local track inspector. We submit reports to them. We do a monthly inspection.
Okay. From what I understand, as the owner of the track, the county would then also have a copy of that. Is that correct, Kevin?
I would have to check into that and get back to you. Yeah.
Could you do that? Thank you.
Is there a specific concern to the condition of the track that you have a question about?
Can you do your mic?
I'd be happy to address that in this setting now if you'd like.
In general, I've done some research on the federal track guidelines, and I've met with the FRA representative for this part of the country, and I've had some discussions with them about what it would take to upgrade that track, and from what I understand, it would still be quite a bit of work.
Money. It's steel.
And at this point, we still have a restriction for accepted track that has no passengers, no hazardous material other than one car, and no speeds exceeding 10 miles an hour. Am I correct in that assumption?
Correct.
Thank you.
And if we had some business that came along the line tomorrow that wanted more of a hazmat presence, we could reclassify the track to Class 1 or Class 2 standards just that quickly. The track as it currently sits is probably good for Class 2. The rail bed, the tie condition, we've just poured quite a bit of money into it. Really the only thing that's lacking, and it's not lacking, is just we've got smaller steel than we'd like. Over half the line's 115 pounds, which is extremely good. We've got some sections out towards Battleground that are still in that 66-pound range that we would certainly like to get changed out, and hopefully with the tax credit bill that we're trying to move forward, we'll be able to get that done a little more quickly with donated steel.
Thank you.
Any other comments from folks out here? Questions? Comments? Okay, let's go around the board. Anything else? Kent? Anything else you want to add? Yeah. Jim? Mark? You're an old FRA guy, aren't you?
I know what he's doing. What am I doing, Mark? But actually, I'm saying this, it makes sense. It makes sense because just an example, if he declares the track is class two. That's what MRA would expect you. You declare your track, they inspect to those standards. So, yes, the track may be at a higher standard as it is right now. It may be in pretty good shape, but if you keep it in that accepted status, they will inspect essentially to that, which really isn't, you know, it's not much. So I can see that logic. And yes, if something came along, they had to, yeah, you could probably bump that the class up, you know, to take care of it. But as soon as he bumps the class up, that's what the federal government's going to inspect them to.
They use a bigger magnifying glass, right?
Yeah, with a bigger magnifying glass, and you're much more exposed.
Lloyd, anything? Yeah. Okay. Any comments for the good of the order? Any questions back here? Okay. I think John moved for adjournment a long time ago, didn't you, John?
Yes, I did.
Anybody second that?
I'll second it.
Been moved and second to adjourn. Anybody opposed to that? Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody, for joining online.